We are never closer to the heart of God than when we are blessing others. In fact, we have been so richly blessed so that God could shower His blessings on others through us. And it really isn't an option. You know, there are some things within our walk with Jesus that are optional. Blessing others is not. In fact, we are all under the command that was given to Aaron and his sons. They were the first priests of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons that they need to bless my people." And we're under that same command because we believe in our tradition that we are a part of the priesthood of all believers. In fact, the scriptures are pretty clear about that. It was people just like us that Peter wrote to in Galatia and Bithynia and Cappadocia and congregations all over Asia. He said, "You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, God's own people." And so you see, we're a part of this royal priesthood. And so the obligation to be in the blessing business is not just for Aaron and his sons and those who are in the lineage of that Jewish priesthood, or even those within those Christian traditions that have priests, but we are part of the priesthood of all believers. Now Jesus put it this way. In Matthew chapter 25, this is a passage that's familiar to most of us, but I just saw it recently as it's simply the passage read by about a dozen different Christian leaders throughout the United States. Watch this 2-minute video.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him,
He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nation will be gathered before Him.
And He will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
He'll put the sheep on the right, the goats on His left.
Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father,
take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink.
I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
Fui extranjero, y me invitaron a su hogar.
I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me.
I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?
Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you
in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?"
The King will reply, "Truly I tell you,
whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Then he will turn to those on his left and say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed,
into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me no food.
I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, you did not invite me in.
I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me.
I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me."
And then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison?"
He will reply, "Truly, I tell you,
whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me."
And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
I saw this in Austin, Texas, where I spent 4 days this week in a gathering of Christian leaders from all over North America who were gathering together to talk about the whole issue of immigration. And this was shared with us, and I thought how appropriate it was to hear these different Christian voices coming together and speaking together out of this call to be a blessing to others. If you missed the first line, Jesus said, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you, and be a blessing to those who are hungry, and those who are thirsty, and those who are strangers, and those who are in prison, and those who are naked." Really, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. Now, the greater blessing that we can be will come with the greater blessing that we receive. It's not simply our good works that we pass on, though I mean, that's certainly a part of it, but we are passing on the Lord's blessing. And in this blessing, God made it clear that He is the source of the blessing. There are those three statements in this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And so the blessing comes from our God. All we need to do is receive it and then pass it on to those around us. Now, I confess that the whole idea of asking God to bless me is something that somehow didn't seem to fit with my brethren ethic, you know. I mean, who am I to ask God to bless me? And we have that sort of humble pie kind of attitude, we brethren. But I changed, that attitude changed when I read a book a number of years ago by Bruce Wilkinson, that's how you say it, who wrote the Prayer of Jabez. Anybody read that book? That tiny little book, The Prayer of Jabez? Yeah. Jabez was this fellow. Actually, the word Jabez means literally, he's a pain. Now, I think I'm a little surprised my mom didn't call me Jabez. But I don't think it's that kind of pain that Jabez's mom was talking about. It was the pain of childbirth. And she apparently it was a pretty painful birth, and she gave him the name Jabez, which means he's a real pain. And Jabez, we're told in 2 Chronicles 4:9-10, that Jabez asked God to bless him. That Jabez asked God to bless him and asked God to expand his sphere of influence. I think that's it says literally that to move the pegs of his tent, to widen his territory. Jabez asked God to put his hand on him. And Jabez asked God to keep him from all harm. And a number of years ago when I read this little book, I was so impressed with the message of the book that I started praying that every day. And I prayed it every day for, you know, a few weeks, and then every week for a few months, and then after that, every now and then. You know how that goes. But I was just thinking this morning as I was praying about this service today, how God has answered that prayer. You know, I've been so blessed. I don't think I could stand it to be blessed anymore. And you know, my sphere of influence has expanded. And I've had a sense of God's hand being upon me, and you know, being in Africa and all sorts of dangerous places, but being without harm. And I know I share that just as a personal testimony, not in any boastful sense. But I know many of us, most of us, can say, yeah, we've been blessed too. We are a blessed people. And I say that only to encourage us that God wants to bless us, that God is not reluctant to bless us. Just as we as parents, we're not reluctant to bless our children. We delight in blessing our children and our grandchildren. There's nothing more fun about being a grandparent than being able to bless our grandchildren, in some cases in ways that we were unable to bless our own children. And that's simply identifying with the heart of God. So we need to understand where the blessings come from and that God wants to bless us. And it's in receiving God's blessing that we're able to have more blessing to pass on to others. Well, let's quickly look at what are the three blessings that the priests were instructed to give. The Lord bless you and keep you. What does it mean to be kept? The word keep in Hebrew is shamar, and it means literally to be hedged in with thorns. And that was the practice among shepherds in that day. If they had their sheep grazing close to where the sheepfold was, they would bring them back into the sheepfold at night for the sake of their safety. But if they were out in the bush somewhere, they would herd the sheep together and put a hedge of thorns around them. Now, I've heard people pray for me. God put a hedge of thorns around him to protect him. And I always liked that. And I went on to pray that for other people. I may have prayed that prayer for some of you. And never quite understood whether it was a really biblical concept until just this week when I was studying for this sermon and found out that that's literally what it means to be blessed and kept. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's inviting God to place a hedge of protection around you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we didn't see the sun for, I don't know, a couple of weeks? And you remember what it felt like to actually see the sun for the first time? I remember because I was in Florida. And when we first got to Florida a couple weeks ago, it was real cloudy down there too. And then one day I was standing there and suddenly the sun appeared and I just stood there and soaked in the sun. And I was so warmed by it. I was so blessed by it. And that's what it means for God's face to shine upon us. That God visits us with his grace. It's not because we deserve to see the sun rather than the clouds, but it's God graciously enables his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, Jesus said. But I confess to you, that wasn't the first image that came to me when I was thinking about the face of God shining upon me. Carol and I, this year, have probably been apart more than at any other in any other year in our nearly 41 years of marriage. There were a couple of episodes over the years when we spent some time apart. And one was when I was in Africa by myself for 3 weeks, and Carol was at home, and the communication back and forth is not very good, and so we didn't see one another for 3 weeks, didn't talk to one another. And I still remember, you know how sometimes we carry these pictures around in our heads? Well, this for me is not just a photograph, but it's a video. It's the full video. And I remember, flying into Philadelphia Airport, going through customs, and then walking out into the terminal. And I remember seeing Carol across the crowd. Just like it was, in South Pacific. Across a crowded room. You know that song, right? Yeah. And her face radiated with joy. I think to see me. And I was so struck with the grace involved in that. That, if somebody, I always felt that if somebody knows me and still likes me, it's because of the grace of God, And that's what it is when God's face shines upon us. It's not because we deserve it, but it's just because of the grace of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now that phrase, lift up his countenance, I memorize it that way because I love the poetry, the poetic language. But that phrase means literally, the Lord turn his face toward you. And you know, when God turns his face toward us, and we know that old song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Yeah. There's that sense to know that our God is watching us, is turning his face toward us, and therefore we can be at peace. Though we might be in circumstances that are not so peaceful, that may not be that secure, when we know that we know that we know that God is lifting his countenance over us, turning his face toward us, watching us as he watches the sparrow. We sing, as the song says, because we're happy, because we're free, because we've experienced the peace of Jesus. Well, these are the blessings that God has given to us. And these are the blessings that we are called as the priesthood of all believers to pass on to others. We're gonna conclude this part of the service by singing Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. And let's do this as a way of preparing for communion. Now, I hesitate. I'm not like Pam. You know, Pam, this morning, the smaller crowd in the 8:15 service was kind of like the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, the tribe of Dan was there, and we're a little bit less like the 12 tribes. But we're having communion together, and communion means community. And we really need to be together more. And I just ask you, as we sing this one-verse hymn, that if you could kind of make your way so that we could be a little more in proximity with one another, so that we could be in community together as we prepare to break bread together. Let's rise to our feet and sing this hymn. And by the way, it's not number 80. It's up there. Number 352.